vaccines, okay.
Things that are happening within those trying times, you know, we should look for that and be thankful. And be thankful that God hears us, that God cares about us, and that no matter what, if we're faithful to Him, you know, we won't have to suffer that.
Okay. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. In this verse, Paul is giving thanks to God for the Colossians, praying for them and giving thanks for them. And in verse 12, he says, actually, let's go back up to verse 9. First, let's look at verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That is the end of a section that's talking about him praying for them. Back up at verse 9, he has not ceased to pray for them and to ask that they be filled with knowledge and that they walk worthy and be fruitful and increase in knowledge. And giving thanks is just one thing in that list of things that he is admonishing them to do. Chapter 2, verse 7 says that they need to be rooted and built up in him as they walk in him and established in the faith, abounding in the faith with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving is connected here with being rooted, built up, and established in the faith. And all these verses that, and I'm going to do another one here in a minute, in,
Colossians 3:15.
Yes, that's the one I'm getting to. Sorry, I couldn't find it on my paper. That was my goal. Anyway, we're getting to that one, but to, in fact, let's just talk about that. When he's being rooted, he is praying that they be rooted, built up, and established in the faith and abounding with thanksgiving. Okay, and then look at chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. In these three verses, 16 and 17, let the word of Christ, it's at 15, is let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and then in 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then down verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. So it's giving thanks is mentioned three times in these three verses. It's admonished to give thanks through the word and through singing and through prayer. So, I mean, we sometimes think of giving thanks as being something simple, but it can be for many things, and it can be for many people, we can do it many ways, I guess is what I'm trying to say, through our singing, through our praying, and through our study of the Word.
There in Colossians 1, as I looked at that too, you know, he was praying for the Colossians and telling them to give thanks, but in verse 12, it says, giving thanks who has qualified us to share the inheritance of the saints in light. That's the bottom line. That is how, you know, and in 13, he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness. So, you know, the brethren and everything is because in Christ Jesus, and then over in your Colossians 3 that you were talking about, is because we have salvation in Christ. And so we should give thanks, you know, no matter what, because we are saved, you know, and he's telling we have redemption.
Right.
So in Colossians. So, you know, we give thanks because we're not in darkness any longer, no matter what.
That's exactly right.
Acts 24:3.
We accept it always and in all places, personal feelings with all thankfulness.
Okay. That goes kind of along with what the verse Elizabeth said about being content in any situation and being thankful in any situation we're in. And this, I put also some verses that I put on number two, but let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 before we go there. This is a well-known verse. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. I mean, you don't have to turn very many pages to find, especially in the epistles, to find the writer encouraging thanksgiving or gratitude or thankfulness for, you know, as Linda says, the bottom line being having the opportunity for salvation and, you know, for the depth of our faith being rooted, for, you know, us living by His Word, walking the walk, and so on and so on. So does anybody have any other verses that they want to mention on number one?
Something that goes along with salvation is 2 Corinthians 9:15. Paul said, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Talking about Jesus, of course.
Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians, what was that?
2 Corinthians 9:15.
Okay.
For Psalms 106 is giving thanks because of His loving kindness. It keeps on going about His loving kindness. So give thanks, He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. And it goes on and it repeats it and repeats it and that kind of thing. Because all the things that He does is because He loves us. Sometimes we may see it as a lot of people in the world will say, well, God's did you for that, you know, that kind of thing. Or there are consequences to sin. But then that's because sometimes He disciplines through that because He loves us. And so we should sometimes give thanks for a check, you know. God, you know, gives us a check.
Okay. Okay. There are many, 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 many things to be thankful for, but what I was mainly looking for on this one is the command to be thankful, or the admonishment to be thankful, or the encouragement to be thankful. You know, I you would think that it wouldn't be that easy to forget to be thankful, but unfortunately, we do. You know, we tend to take things for granted, things that, say, maybe happen every day. You know, the fact that we wake up and open our eyes and get out of bed, the fact that we have healthy children or that we have food to eat or a place to live, that kind of stuff. But the fact that we... What? No, go ahead.
I was just saying it's so easy to forget that in the day of the fact that we live in. Everything is in turmoil. The whole world is in turmoil. And I personally know people who wake up every day, first thing their thought is what's going on, how long is this government going to last, and instead of enjoying what you have today. I was having a conversation with them, and they were saying something, and I said, well, I'm not going to come in the next 15 minutes, but I'm going to enjoy this 15 minutes. And they just, well, he may not. Well, he may not. But it's easy to lose sight and be thankful. Being able to do this, a lot of countries you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And even in countries like Ukraine, I guess at one time they had that right, but it's a war-torn country now. You're scared to get out of your house. And so we still need to remember that God is in control, and we can be thankful that our salvation is secure, no matter what man does this outside. So I think especially in these times, this is a very good lesson to stop and remember.
All right, who does Paul often write about being thankful for other than God and His mercy and His blessings and gifts?
People who have helped him.
Okay. What did you say, Sally?
The people who have helped him.
The people who have helped him. Did you get a verse to that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Anybody have a verse? Where does he write about people that he's thankful for helping him or? Ma'am?
Philippians
what?
I didn't have a verse, but I know he talks about being thankful for them.
Colossians 1:3.
Okay, I put Colossians 1:3. Give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. 1 Thessalonians 1, he prays for them. All right. I have 1 Timothy 2:1 that says, I exhort that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You know, we obviously we all pray for people we know, people that we're close to, our families. Hopefully we pray for the government, that we continue to live free in a way that we can worship. You know, maybe for people in the world like the Ukrainians who are suffering and, you know, being oppressed, that kind of thing. Ephesians 1:16 says, do not cease to give. He says, I also, after I've heard of your faith and your love, I do not cease to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul is praying for these people for the same things we talk about in number one, that they would be rooted, built up, and established, abounding in the faith, and being thankful for the fact that they're walking that path, that they're trying to be that, that they are a support to him. His work was hard. He was beaten and stoned and drowned, half drowned, and all that kind of stuff. In his work, and the people that helped him along the way, he was very, very grateful for them. How do y'all see gratitude leading to humility? I think I might be skipping ahead a little bit. Actually, we'll wait till number four or number five for that. All right, let's just talk about the spiritual dangers of ingratitude. Let's just turn to Romans 1. This is a very, very straightforward passage with several specific sins mentioned and blamed on the fact that people, even though God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, they have no excuse, and they know God, but they refuse to glorify him as God, and they refuse to be thankful. So what state has that led people to? The ingratitude and refusing to honor and glorify God.
Depravity.
Absolute bottom layer depravity. They go as low as they can go.
And they also begin to serve self. They serve the creature rather than the creator. So if you're not thankful, you don't look to God for your blessings, be thankful for the blessings and for guidance and everything, and start depending on self as they did, you know, then that's when you spiral down into immorality.
Right. Whatever self wants, self's going to get.
Yeah.
They turn to idolatry. They turn to pervert sexual practices. Total uncleanness. They change truth for a lie. I mean, they just live in a lie. They're completely futile in their thoughts, and you know, and their hearts are darkened. They're called fools, and their hearts are darkened. And it's hard to get light into a heart that you've, you know, just turned the light bulb off. They don't want to hear it. This whole section here is the result of and proof of when people do not glorify God and when they're ungrateful. When people have debased minds, you know, the road is just open for unrighteousness to just flow in.
Well, when they don't believe in God as the creator with the right to command, and they then don't have to listen to God, and they won't.
That's right. They're serving self.
And they can do anything they want, and that's why our world is such a mess.
And that often even leads to not caring, or it doesn't matter who that can affect adversely, you know, which a lot of God's law is based on, you know, how you treat one another and how what you do affects other people, or what we do affects other people. So that just goes completely out the window when we're serving ourselves, because self's going to come first. And, you know, it's no big deal to kill another person. Who cares? You know?
This is not for happiness. We see, you know, we're hearing on the news, there's a runs through my iPad, but there seems to be more suicides, like, in the last several years and months. Because everybody's doing what they want to do, there's no direction, And that does not bring fulfillment. And yet when we serve God and glorify Him and are content and have humility and love for God and strive to serve Him, you find people that are happy. Even though they're poor, they're happy. Content in their lives.
God gives us over to our evil desires and disobey Him.
That's right. When self replaces our dependence on and honoring God, then our hearts are just filled with evil desire. That's just where it goes naturally. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3.
One more thought about that, please. When he finishes Romans 1, he actually talks about people who knew the ordinance of God. This isn't people who just never heard of God and didn't know the law of God. They just chose to turn their back on it. They chose, you know, to ignore it. They chose to turn away from it. So, you know, it's a danger to us. We can look at within ourselves. You know, if this could happen to people, to Christians back then, or people who knew God, you know, they knew God. Or even the Gentiles who had a sense of God and who knew what was right and wrong. We can choose to serve ourselves, and we can end up like this if we don't give honor to Him and treat Him as God and be thankful. And, you know, and not only that, we can start giving approval. I've got a person in my family that is now giving approval to gross sin because she has fell into this. You know, she knows better. She knows the word of God. But the devil is smart. And so he hits us, you know, in our minds to cause us to believe a lie.
Okay.
I agree with everything Linda said, that God put in place people who, even though they have never been taught God's word, they can look at creation, according to Romans, and see that there is a God. This, now we just say it happened. But if you have any kind of sense at all, how can this just happen? Nothing else in the world do we reason that way about. You know, all the, you tell somebody, here's a watch. I just went out my garage and here it was. I didn't do anything. It just happened. They would put you in the insane asylum, literally, if you kept stressing that. They think you're mentally ill. Because we can look at his creation and see. So nobody has an excuse.
Okay. 2 Timothy 3. Melissa, will you read 1-7, please?
But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these, for among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Okay, what strikes me about this passage is the list of the ways that people get when they turn away from God, and that unthankful or ungrateful is in a list with stuff like lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, traitors, brutal, without self-control, unholy, blasphemers. Just look at the different terms there that describe sinners. And, you know, I don't think we sometimes want to think that being ungrateful is that big of a deal. It's not that bad of a sin. But based on this in Romans 1, you know, in other words, what it can result in, I think it's a pretty scary sin. It's a very scary situation to find ourselves in. And the problem with our society, even though there is a lot of sin in our society, we all are living very comfortable lives. It's very easy to become complacent and not keep at the front of our minds where all of our blessings came from. You know, it's easy to forget to thank God. It's easy to forget to be grateful and humble about where things came from. Could we have done all this on our own? Could we have even affected our own birth and our growing up and living very comfortable and easy lives on our own? All these blessings come from God. Obviously, we can't be lay around, lazy people. We have to work to get what we have to a degree. But for the most part, I think it's just too easy to forget that these things came from God. This passage here is talking about perilous times coming. Would you say we live in perilous times? I think we do. Christianity is threatened on every side. Where I read somewhere lately that they wanted to hang a gay flag on some government building.
Exxon.
Oh, okay. What has that got to do with anything? I mean, there isn't a Christian flag, but do you think that would have gotten anywhere?
There is a Christian flag, and there was just a lawsuit because some place they were allowing everybody to hang flags, and when they wanted to hang the Christian flag, it's a white flag with a blue square with a red cross in it.
I've never seen it.
They refused them, and they went to court, and the Supreme Court upheld that they didn't ever let anybody else. They got to let that one fly too.
That's what I get.
But
I hate it.
I read a headline that they're trying to make it to where Christian people, if they classify themselves Christian, they shouldn't be able to be a chaplain
be
a chaplain in the armed services.
What is a chaplain?
Well, a chaplain is one who preaches.
Exactly.
You can have Muslims, you can have...
But no Christians. Wow.
I didn't read the article, but that's what it implied, the headline implied.
I've read in the past, talking about that they couldn't preach Christ, to the soldiers. If they could hear prayers, and that stuff.
Look how far we've come.
Stay true to their religion.
From from a country that was founded so we could have religious freedom.
Well, another thing that is so blatant is the abortion issue. Just from the time I married, abortion was something that was horrible. Even people who were not classified, they were Baptists and other religions, they fought against it hard. And now it's just an accepted thing. And they're trying to take it away. And there's a big mess about that. I haven't really heard anything about it, except headlines. But I was thinking, 100 years ago, the people who went through the world wars, they would be fighting here, I think, to overcome some things, because this is not the nation they fought for.
That's right.
They fought to be able to have.
No, it's not.
But then just look at Israel. Back in Isaiah 9:9, they were Isaiah says that they were asserting in pride and arrogance. Talking about that. Well, in Amos 6, when it gets over to women are fixing to be destroyed, it says, "This is what they said: Have we not by our own strength taken Carnesia for ourselves?" And then the Lord brings Assyria down on them. And when they went in, we've done this, and look at how powerful we are. The Lord is with us, and they didn't really give them the praise. They just always pulled up the card, we're God's people. But they weren't, because they weren't giving him honor or glorifying him or keeping his law. But God took care of them. But that's how far they put. They stopped giving him the glory. Look what we've done, And God hears, and God takes care.
I think that's what's going to bring this country down, especially based on what we read in the Bible about how God has handled that in the past. When people are not able to come to a knowledge of the truth and insist on denying the power of godliness, there can't be a good future. I think we have, worse days coming. But who knows?
Little hope when Abraham is pleading to God for 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, "If you find them,
there's always a remnant, and that's something to be grateful for, especially if you travel much, that you can find some people to worship with.
So maybe God will have mercy.
Why do y'all think that we really kind of already answered this, but why do you think that gratitude or thanksgiving is mentioned so often in the New Testament? It is important.
And people forget it.
People forget it easily. I mean, it doesn't take anything. You know, just think, look back at the Israelites. They'd hardly gotten out of Egypt where they had suffered and suffered and suffered. And they're complaining and moaning and groaning. They're not even grateful that Moses, with God's, you know, help, has gotten them out of there. And they do that all the way through the wilderness.
And they did not even suffer out of place.
Well, I mean, they suffered the work that they were made to do.
I mean, they saw God's power.
Oh, yeah.
He
yeah.
never brought them out.
Yeah.
And then after he brought them out the way he did.
You'd think if they only saw the Red Sea part, they'd have believed something. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Elizabeth, will you read 16 to 18, please?
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks for this, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit.
Okay, so when you see the word always, does that mean every minute of every day? No, how would you define that in the context?
Be ready. Be ready to give thanks.
Be ready, okay, what else?
On a regular basis.
What about all circumstances? In all circumstances. Isn't there always something to be thankful about?
But at first we might not.
We might not be able to find it. We've got to look for it sometimes, don't
right.
we? There's always something good. There's always something to rejoice about. And I think this is a passage that's trying to remind us of that, or is reminding us of that, that, you know, yeah, we're going to have bad days. We're going to have bad periods. Maybe a few bad years, you know, a run of bad luck, a run of bad health, a run of bad circumstances in your marriage or whatever. If we don't remember that in all circumstances that there is something to be thankful for, then we're just going to sink. We're just going to go lower and lower and lose our ability to be thankful. We're going to start the blame thing. You know, if we ever find ourselves starting to blame people for something, I think a good antidote to that is being thankful for something. And, you know, we need to be able to examine ourselves anyway. You know, people who blame somebody else for everything have serious problems. I know we all know people like that. Yeah.
No matter how bad a day you're having, a better run of life you're having, you can always rejoice that there's a better place than this.
Absolutely. If it's not going to be in this life, there's one coming.
Yes. And then we can always pray and thank God for that. We ask God for things. I've mentioned this class with somebody. We ask for things. We ask for things. And we pray incessantly for something we would want. But then when our prayer is answered, we never go back and say thank you. Maybe one time. Thank you, God, what you did for me. And then we can pour our heart out in prayer, pleading with Him for this. Our thanksgiving should equal our pleading. Because
if not exceeded.
No, you've got to always remember that God's going to do more for us than we can ever imagine. And we need to be thankful for that every day.
Okay. Yes, we do.
You know, even when times are really, really bad and you feel like you're at the end of the tunnel and there's no light, God is still there with you.
Okay.
And the Holy Spirit here, and you included it in your question, this is the will of God. The Holy Spirit is saying, this is what's good for you. God wants you to do this. It is like a command, like other things that we read. This is not a suggestion of how you might feel better about things, or that it might relieve some of the, you know, the stress. And that this is God's will. Now, it might do all those things, you know, and make you put things more in perspective. But it is because it's God's will for you, and
right.
He knows that it will bring about whatever peace or whatever, you know, encouragement or whatever you might get from doing that.
Right. I think it's definitely a command, and I think the way it's worded in several verses, some that we've looked at and some not, that it's not optional. It's not if you feel like it. If it's not, if it's a good day. I think it's God's will that we be thankful. And as we already pointed out, there's too many dangers if we're not. There's so many dangers. There's so many pits that we can fall into if we're not maintaining a heart of thanksgiving. We have to be thankful all the time about, you know, So many things. So many things. So how does being grateful help us maintain humility?
May I go back one?
Absolutely.
In Revelation 7:12, it's the angels standing around the throne of God, and they fall on their knees, their faces, and worship Him, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." So we need to recognize all of those, that God deserves it, and we need to be sure and be thankful and grow in our wisdom and give Him the glory and be thankful for His wisdom.
Right. We need to remember who God is.
Right.
You know, He is the Almighty, the Omniscient, the Omnipresent. I mean, He's the be-all and end-all of everything. And if we forget that, then we're going to lose track of our walk, you know, not to mention thanksgiving and honoring Him. You know, we've got to keep that at the forefront of our minds at all times, and thanksgiving is a big part of that. I think being thankful keeps that at the top of our minds, because we are thankful to Him, you know, the great giver, the one who gave us everything. That's a good verse. Thank you. All right. Revelation 7, 11 and 12. Okay, so how can we improve our humility by being grateful and thankful?
Well, one thing is not think of stuff all the time.
Good point. Good point. We, you know, it takes the focus off of ourselves and on something either somebody's done for us or God, you know, the ultimate. And it can highlight the goodness and charity of other people. It highlights the loving kindness of God. It you know, if what a good thing to keep in our mind rather than dwelling on all the negatives. What else?
If we realize that everything we have comes from God, we have to stop and think, it's not me, it's not about me. God's not just done this for me, He's done it for everybody. And so if we realize and give God the glory for what He's done, and it puts us in our proper place, which is not the top of the heap.
That's right. It's nothing we did ourselves. It's not because of where we were born or who our parents were or our genetics or our economic status. It's, you know, opportunities that we had. It puts us in a position to remember that God affords the same to all. God loves us all. And if we fall into the habit of not praising ourselves, but thinking that we are the originator of all the blessings or all the good things in our lives. If it's all up to me, I did this. You know, that we're going to be in trouble. We're going to get in trouble real fast if we fail to put the praise and honor where it belongs instead, and not on ourselves. Also, as Elizabeth said in one of the very first verses, gratitude leads to contentment, and it will shield us from envy and disappointment. You know, if somebody's got it better than I do, or they have a nicer husband, or a bigger house, or maybe they're a better cook, or they get to they get to see their kids more. Their kids don't live 1,000 miles away. That kind of thing. Envy, you know, over that, or disappointment that we don't have the same circumstances, then it's going to really be hard to foster thanksgiving and be grateful for the things we do have. You know, maybe turn that around to focus on the fact that our kids are in good health. They don't have serious illnesses, even if they do live far away, or they're serving God. They're not living wild, woolly lives. That kind of thing. Anybody else?
It also helps to combat our general sense in this country of entitlement. Like, I deserve it. It's just something that, in and of itself, because I'm human, I deserve X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you have to work for it or that you have to be thankful for the things that you get, but, you know, that counteracts it. You know, if you're being thankful for the things that you're receiving, then you're not going to have that attitude of, I deserve it.
Right. Because I'm special. I'm better than everybody else. I'm above the law. Rules don't apply to me. I mean, it's ridiculous. Our society is just permeated with it.
And I remember our children are watching us.
Good point.
What, how do we want to teach them? By example, or by seeing us, or doing it together? You know, I worry about the younger generation, my children, grandchildren. And it's not that I'm worried. I have a concern about it. You know, I don't think that's
well,
all the time, but...
I think most grandparents probably do, you know, especially because we have seen, we've lived a lot of years, and we've seen a lot of changes. And I think it's kind of natural to be worried about the society our kids are having to grow up in, our grandkids are having to grow up in, and, you know, what they see and what they don't see.
This is so prevalent in my country, talking about news and everything. In 1920, a town out in the Midwest was a black town in the Midwest was attacked, and some of them were killed, you know, murdered, and most of their town was burned. They are now in court. The second generation after, you know, this was 1920. Now the second generation following that are now in court suing the town. You know, the blacks are suing for
reparations.
To get money back. You know, for restitution. You know, for this that happened.
But who exactly are they suing? How do they know who to sue?
They're suing the town. They're suing people that probably didn't even live there and everything. But it's in court.
Oh, that's
and they
that's
will
amazing.
Probably win. You know, and so this is happening all across our country. I mean, people from the slave era, you know, I mean, their generational descendants are now suing. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, and our legal system is such that they're going
to
eat it up.
That, you know, they don't have to put up with it anymore, and they've got a good life in that town and this kind of thing, you know. And actually, some of them are, you know, are running for town council. Mercy, you know, look how far they've come from 1920. But I think Melissa has a very good point about entitlement. You know, and we don't have to carry it to that extreme, but you know, that I deserve this. Kids are robbing. Craig told us the other night when we were at the concert. He says more and more crime is in their neighborhood and over where Kisa lives and out that way, you know, and they live in a good community and stuff. Because kids don't have anything else better to do, and some of them are out of school.
And their parents
aren't there.
And they
don't have jobs. Well, even the ones...
Oh, you mean out of high school already?
Out of high school, just or some of them.
Or college.
And they're carrying around guns. We're not talking about cartel kids. We're not talking about, you know,
yeah,
kids that just come across the border. We're talking about kids in the neighborhood. And they don't have anything else better to do except they think that they can get away with this.
It's a scary place.
Yeah, they can.
It's a scary place. Any other comments before we close? Well, this is...